Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
This is the second installment of the relationship series. And we're excited about this because it's great to talk about something that matters to us. And you'll hear me say this often because it's just a reality. The greatest moments of your life and the most heartbreaking moments of your life will surround this thing called relationships. It will involve relationships. The greatest joy of your life will be to do with relationships. The greatest sadness in your life will have to do with relationships. I'm not saying that other things don't disappoint us, but heartbreak, it's usually surrounding this issue. And so tonight I want to talk to you about something, and this is the title of my message: Take Charge of Your Own Happiness. Mate, the room went quiet. Take charge of your own happiness. And I'm going to unpack that for you tonight, and I'll explain why. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, Jesus says something really, really interesting. And if you're new here tonight, I'm going to absolutely freak you out, but let's just go there right now. Jesus believed in the demonic realm. He often cast out demons and devils. That's just what he did on a daily basis. Right. He did that all the time. It wasn't just like a one-off occasion. And in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, Jesus says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest, and finds none. Jesus is saying that the demonic is attracted to dry places. The demonic is attracted to dry places. I don't know about you, I don't know anyone that is attracted to dry things. I've never heard someone say, you know, Rich, I went to Nando's last night and I had a half a chicken. Man, it was so dry. It was awesome. Anyone ever heard that about Nando's? I had a Palmer last Wednesday. Oh man, so dry. It was awesome. Anyone, any takers for, you know what, let's be honest. As humans, we don't really love dry things. You know, even dry places like you know, the desert or a resort in Egypt. You know what? You want water. You're happy for there to be dry places and you're happy for it to be hot, but you want some water around. But none of us love dry things on their own. Nobody wants a dry marriage. Please feel free to say amen at any point in time. No one wants a dry hubby. Nobody wants a dry church service. Nobody wants a dry walk with God. Nobody wants a dry preacher. Nobody wants a dry anything. Dry is horrible. The only thing that is attracted to dry, Jesus is telling us, is the enemy. It's actually a very dangerous place, these dry places. You know, I've got a friend in North Queensland, and I'm just going to put it out there. He's crazy. He's probably podcasting right now, and God bless you, bro. But I remember one day he was out on his pool on a little flotation device, and he was praying. And I said, but I'll leave his name out of it. Adam, what are you doing, bro? He goes, oh, I'm just praying here out on the water. I said, why? Why are you praying out there? Come over here. Let's talk. He goes, no. He goes, don't you know that demons hate dry places? Demons hate water. They love dry places. He goes, so I'm safe here. I said, bro, I don't think that's what Jesus was getting at. He goes, no, well, that's what I'm doing and that's what I'm doing. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, demons love dry places. He goes, you don't believe me, do you? I said, no. He goes, be honest, in the shower, do you sing better or not? I said, yeah, he's got a point, you know. He goes, see? You know, when demons leave you alone, you guys can all sing. You just got to get into a watery space. I don't know if that's true or not. But listen, why am I talking about this? Because one of the most dangerous things that you could be in your life right now is to be in a dry place. You know, it's a really dangerous thing if your marriage, your relationship is in a dry place. Do you know how we talk like that? Well, I'm telling you, there's only one thing that's attracted to that dry space in your life. And it's not a good thing. It's actually a dangerous thing. Yeah. And the greatest gift that you could give to your friends, your relatives, your partner, your children, the greatest gift you could give to them is for you to not in a, to not be in a dry place. For you to not be in a dry place is the greatest gift that we can give to each other, because dangerous places, dry places are dangerous spaces. And so we need to look for areas where we can make sure that if there's an area in our life, we've got to make sure that we're getting some water to that place. And I think what's really obvious to me is that when I look around, everybody has got something in common in this room. Every single person has got something in common. Are you ready? We all barrack for different teams. We all live in different places. We all drive different cars. But every person in this place, I guarantee you, we can all agree on one thing. We all want to be happy. Would that be the truth? Everyone in this room wants to be happy. The only problem is that we often leave our happiness in someone else's hands. We're actually waiting for someone to make us happy. And that's a really dangerous place to be, because if you're waiting for someone else to make you happy and you're not happy, then you have found yourself in a dry place. And I'm telling you, Jesus knows what he's talking about, that when you're in a dry place, you're asking for trouble to come along. Show me a guy who feels that he's in a dry place. He starts thinking crazy thoughts about his relationship and that girl at work. That's what happens. Show me a couple who feel like they're in that beautiful space where things are growing and it's luscious and it's green. That guy is happy. But the thing that I've learned about happiness is that people are not on a truth quest, they're on a happiness quest. And why does that matter? Because some people will take a drug that they know could possibly hurt their body. They know it could damage something, but they will take a drug even though the truth of the matter is it may hurt them, but it may bring me happiness, so they'll still do it. And there are decisions that some people are about to make because they're desperate for happiness that will actually fight against truth. Things that you know are true. I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't go to that place. I shouldn't talk like that. I shouldn't be vulnerable in that area of my life. But we're so desperate for happiness, we will do whatever it takes. I want to assure you there is a way around that where you can find happiness without fighting against truth. Does anybody want to hear what God has to say about this? People are on a pursuit of happiness. They really, really are. And we need to discover how we can find this. For some people, do you know, they would say, well, you know what? If I just had enough money, I'd be happy. That's the biggest lie I have ever heard in my life. How many rich people do you know of who aren't happy? Let alone what the media shows us and the different people in our worlds. Friends, there is no doubt about it. They've actually done the research. Money helps us buy things in life. It helps provide shelter. It sends our kids to school. Did you know they've actually put a figure on how much money you need to be happy? They've actually put a figure on it. And here it is. Here's your goal, $73,000. If you earn $73,000, up to that, if you haven't reached that yet, yeah, there might be areas of your life where you go, if I could just have a little bit more money. Do you know, after $73,000, money doesn't bring you much more happiness. And for some people, it's like, I just want to be a multi-billionaire because that'll make me happy. Friend, it's not the truth. And I would hate to see you misguided your whole life thinking that money was going to bring you happiness. So let's talk about this thing called happiness. Does anybody want it? Does anybody want some happiness in their life? No? Four of you? Anyone else want some happiness? What about you guys at the back? Anybody want some happiness? Okay, great. Let me encourage you as to where you can find this thing called happiness. First of all, let's talk about happiness for a moment. If I was to get someone up here on stage and say, are you happy? They may say yes, or they may say no. But let's say they said yes. And they said, oh, yeah, I'm very happy. And I said, can you just show me your happiness, please? What would they do next? What, like, do they go, oh, I'm glad you asked. Do you know, you can't show me happiness. Happiness is not a physical thing. Some of you need to hear that. Because see, if I've got a physical thirst, if I've got a physical thirst, I take physical water and I just Oh, I actually do have a physical thirst, actually. This is not an illustration. I'm actually just drinking some water right now. This is like awesome. Mm. If you are physically hungry, what do you think you should do? Just help me out here a little bit. If you're physically hungry, what would you pray about eating, or would you just go get a souvlaki or something? Yeah. If you're physically hungry, you put physical food. Okay, here it is. So here it is. I want to help you. If you're after happiness, happiness is a spiritual thing. It's not physical. You can't show it to me. It's not physical. So why do you think a physical thing can make you spiritually happy? Are you seeing what I'm saying tonight? And we've got a whole world trying to be happy, but it's a spiritual problem. Why do you think a physical answer is going to make it better for you? It's not a physical answer. It's a spiritual answer. That's why people who are desperate to be happy are doing all these physical things, but it just doesn't seem to quench the thirst, because it never was intended to quench the thirst. It was never intended to do it. Who told us that it could do it? It just doesn't happen. And Jesus, thankfully, tells us how to get this thing called happiness. And here it is. In John chapter 7, verse 38, Jesus says, "Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within him." Did you hear that? Jesus is saying, if you will allow me to do what I need to do in your life, you will find yourself with a river of water flowing out of you. There is no chance that you can be in a dry place when Jesus is producing rivers out of you. Rivers. He says, I'm going to produce rivers. So what does that mean for us? Stop looking for happiness out there somewhere. It doesn't happen out there. It doesn't happen out there. Oh, no, if I just build a bigger home. No, the reason why you are able to buy that bigger home is because the person who lives there doesn't want to live in there anymore, because it doesn't make him happy. No, you don't understand. But if I could just buy a black Porsche, man, I'd be so happy. No, the reason why you're able to buy the black Porsche is because the guy who currently owns it is sick and tired of it and he doesn't want it because it doesn't make him happy. You think what's not making him happy is going to make you happy. Hey, listen, it does for about 48 hours, no doubt about it. But when that insurance claim comes and you've got to pay for the insurance for it, you're not so happy now. No, physical things don't make us spiritually happy. So Jesus is saying, listen, I've got a better way to do life. Do it from within. Happiness, listen, this is why this message is called Take Charge of Your Happiness. Happiness is not out there somewhere. Happiness is not having the right person beside you. Happiness isn't having the right amount of kids. Oh, I think it is. No, talk to some parents in this church. No. Now, of course kids bring us a lot of joy. There's no doubt about it. But how many of you know that for some people, their children bring them the greatest sadness because of the decisions that they have made? Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? Happiness is not out there somewhere. Happiness is not at the next conference you're going to go to. Happiness is not at the end of the next purchase. It's not, friends. It starts from within. This is what Jesus says. Verse 39 of chapter 7. Jesus here, when he talks about, look, when he said living water, he's about to tell us what it is. He was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. Jesus has told us what the water is. It's the Holy Spirit. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. What's the Bible telling us? The Bible is saying that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, wants to bring you happiness. Whether you are single, you've got the Holy Spirit, you're happy. Whether you're married and things aren't going too well, yes, we need to work on the marriage, but I'm happy. Why are you happy? Because the Holy Spirit's inside you and he is creating this thing called joy and happiness from the inside out. That's why there are some people that are in prison, but they're happy. But I've seen people living in a palace and they're not happy. Friends, it's not about your destination. It's not about how many bedrooms. It's not about the car. It's not about what you're wearing. It's about what's happening on the inside. The answer to your happiness is the power of God in your life. That's where happiness lies. That's where it is. Listen, your partner, this is a relationship series, so why am I talking about this? Listen, your partner does bring you some happiness. There's no doubt about it. I love my beautiful wife. She's awesome. And you know, I constantly ask her, are you happy? I want to make sure she's happy because she makes me happy. But your partner is supposed to be just the, like Jesus is producing the river of happiness. Like, I'm happy. But my wife is supposed to be the, oh, you're the best, hun. That's what your marriage is supposed to be, just that. I love my wife. That's what marriage, sorry, is that a bit too risque? Sorry, okay, all right, I'll keep it clean then. This is what your marriage is supposed to be like. Oh, but listen, as far, would you, if I held that up and if I said to you, what's that? Would you go, oh, that's a river. Would you say that's a river? That's not a river. But for some of us, we think that our partner is supposed to provide a river of happiness. It's a lie. Where have you ever found that? Oh, if I just start my job, if I get that job, there's going to be a river. Where? Why? Who promised you the river of happiness? No, the right job is this. I love my job.
Yeah.
But it's not a river.
Yeah.
It's not a river. Everything could be going well. It's just a sip from a cup in comparison to what God wants to bring and do in your life. He doesn't want to just give you a little bit of a drip here and a drip there and a sip here and a sip there. No, he wants to create a river of happiness. This is what God had intended for us. I love my wife. She makes me beautiful meals. And actually, I was talking to a guy out there in the foyer. He says, man, my wife, yeah, thanks for the message this morning, Pastor Richard. It was great. He goes, my wife, man, I'm going to be honest, man, she treats me like a god. I go, man, amen. He goes, no, I'm serious, mate. He goes, she's continually offering me burnt offerings. It's an oldie but a goodie, eh? It always goes down well. Hey, listen. Let me warn you. In love, let me warn you. Let me help you, okay? I meet a lot of people. This is what I do. I'm in the people business. I'm trying to help people do life. Do you remember when you were young? Someone preached on it recently in our church. Come on, some of us, remember that toy that was half red and half blue? And you had those little yellow shapes that you had to put into the right? Right? Do you remember that? Yeah? Yeah? I could never quite work it out. I'm going to be honest with you, right? But remember you had to get the square into the square hole and the round thing into the round hole, and you could try forever and just try and shove it in, but it's. Do you know there is a shape in your heart that is designed for God to live in? And you can take all the other things that this world offers, and they're not bad sometimes. They're sometimes great things. But you're trying to shove it into your heart to make you happy. And God says, no. That shape, that void is for me only. Yeah. And you can put the band that you're in. You can put your job. You can put your partner. You can put anything you like into. And it's just not quite going to fit. But at the end of this service, if you would just say, God, if this is the truth, I'm going to allow you to bring that living water. Friend, you're going to find for the first time in your life, it's like, whoop, it fits. And it just, oh. So now I don't need to do drugs. Do you know why people do drugs, friend? They're not trying to ruin their bodies. They just want to be happy. I'm not justifying drugs. I think it's the silliest thing you could do because you've only got one body. But I understand why people do it because it's mimicking happiness. The only problem is it lasts for 2, 3, 4 hours, whatever it is, and then you come down again and you've done some damage to your body. But imagine we could be happy without the drugs.
Yeah.
Imagine we could actually have some focus without all that stuff, without all the substance abuse.
Yeah.
Come on, give someone a high five and tell them, let's drink the water. Let's drink the water, friend. You know, one day Jesus was talking to a woman at the well, and they're sitting there at this well, and the woman had gone there because she was physically thirsty. She was physically thirsty, and she's sitting at this well, and Jesus said, what have you come for? And she said, I've come for the water. Jesus said, but you know what? I've got water. I've got water that if you drink from it, you will never thirst again. Actually, this is the way he actually puts it. John chapter 4, it says, Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water, I imagine Jesus would have been pointing to the well. Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. And I just think Jesus, even right now tonight, I think Jesus is sitting on the well of your life. And whatever it is that you think is going to bring you happiness, I think Jesus would say to you tonight, you know, this water, whatever it is you're thinking, it's going to quench your thirst for a little while, but you're going to become thirsty again. And so that's why we just are on this perpetual eBay, buying stuff, selling stuff, going places, never at rest. But verse 14 says, but those who drink the water I will give them, you're never going to thirst again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them that gives them eternal life. Come on, somebody. Come on. So here's the knockout punch. Are you ready? Those of you that are in a relationship, those of you who aren't, just imagine with us for a moment. Imagine you were not responsible for your partner's happiness. How good would life be if your partner could just be happy all on their own and they just come home and they're like, woohoo! How you going, huh? Imagine you could have a partner like that. Well, we can, but why don't you be that partner? Because you can't control what your partner wants to do, but why don't you be that person that says, you know what, hun, you don't need to make me happy. I'm already happy. How can I help you out? And she says, or he says to you, you don't need to make me happy. I'm just as happy too. Oh my gosh. Do you realize that is the complete opposite of what's going on out there? It's like, you need to make me happy. She's like, oh, give it to me, on out there. No, I thought you were there. The house and the car, you make me happy. And that's marriage. There it is. Come on. My wife and I, we're very, very honest with each other. I just go, listen. My parents' marriage was a mess. And it was, but it got better a whole lot later on because they both became Christians and it was awesome. But I basically said to her, do you reckon you can just make yourself happy? She went, yeah, all right. I'll go, and I'll just try and make myself happy, Ben. But we'll just, how about we just give each other a little bit of, you know, like, I'll be nice to you. Like, I will, I promise. I won't go out of my way to hurt you, but do you reckon you can just sort of make yourself happy? She went, yeah, all right. I'll just connect with Jesus and he'll make me happy. And then I'll connect with Jesus and he'll make me happy. And then what happens is we actually end up with so much of this stuff. You know what? It's like, you know what? Man, we've got so much of this. You know what? You know what? We don't even need it anymore. I don't even need it. How many of you are glad you didn't sit at the front tonight? Now you're happy, aren't you? Hey, listen, take the pressure down. Take the pressure down. Come on, you get on Instagram, couple goals. I know what some of you do. You're in bed and you see the couple goals come up, right? And some guy's taking his wife somewhere and you just look at your husband like, and then she actually bought him that car. And he looks at her. What was I thinking? That happens. Come on. How about you look at that Instagram and go, yeah, that'll make me happy for a little while, but I've got the Savior of the world living inside of me. And if it happens to come, that's awesome. If it doesn't, I'm all good. Come on, take the pressure off your partner. Listen, I said it right from the start. Here it comes. Be responsible for your own happiness. Be responsible for your own. If you're not happy right now, it's not your partner's fault. No, it is because you don't understand how much of an idiot he is. No, the reality is I know husbands that are worse than that guy, but that woman's actually happy because she's not going to let her husband's bad behavior ruin her happiness. She's like, my husband's not who he should be. And man, he annoys me, but I'm getting my river over here. And so she's going to go to heaven happy, because it's actually not where it comes from. Are you seeing what I'm saying? I know you're getting this, but here comes Jesus with the knockout punch. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, the thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy. But he says, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Listen, here it comes, and I need you to get really excited. There is a God in heaven who has a purpose, and his purpose is to give you and you and you and you a rich and exciting and satisfying life. It's not your pastor's job to give you a rich and satisfying life. It's not your wife's job to give you a rich and satisfying. It's not the youth pastor's job to give you a rich. It's not your boss at work. It's not your car's job. It's supposed to be Jesus' job to give you a rich and satisfying life. It's his job. And Jesus is standing on the balcony of heaven looking over into this room right now saying, can I please bring you the rich and satisfying life? Please. Please, will you allow me? Take the pressure off your partner. Can I please be that person for you? He's desperate tonight to be the person who brings the rich and satisfying life. That's what he wants to bring. But you know what we think? I'm pretty sure an iWatch would do the job. And he says, no, get on eBay. Lots of people selling iWatches. No, he's far better than an iWatch. He's far better than your dream job. He's the God of the universe. He made you. He knows how you work, and he wants to bring happiness from the inside out. But you've got to welcome him in. He says this is his job. And I'm just wondering if I'm in a room full of hungry people that are saying, you know what, God, if happiness is available from the inside out, I want it. And maybe you've been walking with the Lord for 35 years. There's always a little bit more happiness that he wants to drop into your life. Just a little bit more. Anyone else want just a little bit more? Yeah, come on, there's a little bit more. So come on, why don't we get to our feet? And I just pray that I've stirred up a hunger in you to say, God, if this thing's real, if this is real, I want some happiness in my life. Come on, friend. He's looking over the balcony right now. Do you want some more happiness? I'm not saying we don't have dreams. I'm not saying we don't have ambitions. I'm just saying all those things don't bring what you think they're going to bring. But when he brings that river, it's coming. It's going to come through you. And you will leave this place saying, listen, even tonight you'll say, man, I feel different. Yeah, that's the bubbling up of the well. The well has been opened up. And all of a sudden, your partner's going to say to you, what is it about you, man? You seem very happy. Yeah, I know. Because I've connected to the God of happiness. I've connected to the God of joy, the God of love, the God of forgiveness, the God of acceptance, the God of peace, the God of no judgment, the God of no condemnation, the God of sacrifice, the God of generosity. You've connected to him, and he's working from the inside out.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.